This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we plow along in Proverbs 1 and 2, covering wisdom's warning cry, listen to her and dwell secure, the Lord gives wisdom, the benefits of wisdom, and deliverance from the wicked woman. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
A reading from Luke 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his field to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I may celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who had devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.' This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." That, my dear friends, is the key that unlocks this entire parable of the prodigal son. The Greek verb for receives doesn't mean some sort of reluctant tolerance. It's not some sort of tolerance that you have to give, like when you have to put up with a difficult guest who's coming over to your house. Rather, it means to welcome, to look forward to even embrace. And Jesus doesn't just allow sinners to come near to him. He welcomes them. He looks forward to them. He embraces them. And he delights to have them at his table. And that, my dear friends, is the scandal. That's what drove the Pharisees to grumble and ask the question, how can the Holy One of Israel sit down and break bread with the filthy swine of society? With the tax collectors, with the prostitutes, with the traitors? Doesn't he know who these people are? Doesn't he know how filthy they are? Yes, of course he does. He knows who they are. He knows how filthy they are, and that's why he came. And in response, Jesus tells a parable of a man who had two sons. The younger son demands his inheritance early. And as we know, in that culture, it's a shocking request. He's basically saying, "Father, I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead so I could have my share of the money right now." And what does the father do? The father gives it. The father hands over the son's portion of his inheritance. And so the parable goes on, and we see that the son goes off into a far country. I guess literally, it's a far away land. Emphasize on the distance, and it's more than geography, my friends. Rather, it's a picture of the sinful heart's ever-growing distance, further and further away from God. And once there, what does the son do? Well, he squanders, or maybe better yet, he recklessly scatters out the love and the gift that the Father has given him. He scatters and squanders it in reckless living. Because sin always promises freedom, but it delivers slavery. The son thought he was escaping his father's house to find himself. He thought he was escaping the father's house in order to find some sort of freedom, free to banquet on lust in order to satisfy the sinful appetites of the flesh. But is he free? No. He ends up enslaved in a foreign land feeding pigs. Quite a rather shameful image for a Jewish audience, but worse off, he's starving. He's starving and he longs to eat the same slop the pigs gorge themselves on. And that's where sin leads. From freedom to famine, from wealth to want, and from sonship to swine. But then comes the turning point in the parable. It says the son came to himself. And here suggests a moment of awakening. It's almost like he's been living in a fog and suddenly wakes up. He remembers the father. He remembers even the hired servants are better off than he is. But notice that his plan is not quite true repentance yet. Relying on his own wit, the son forms the plan. He thinks, "Hey, I'm going to go back, but not as son, just as a servant. And then as a servant, I'll earn my keep. I'll work my way back into the father's love." Well, that's what the Pharisees would have expected. That's what the world expects. If you've made a mess of your life, well, pull yourselves up from the bootstraps. You'd better make up for it. That's how the world works. But that's not how grace works. Before the son can even deliver this, I'm sure, well-rehearsed speech, the father sees the son. It's as if he's been waiting and watching down the road. And he sees the son and he runs. And we all know in that culture, a dignified patriot, he never ran. Children might run. Servants might run. But not the father. Yet here he is, hiking up his robes and sprinting, I imagine. Full-on sprints in order to embrace his son. Next, Luke uses a wonderful verb in Greek, which can be translated as he was moved in his guts with compassion. It's the same word Jesus used for his compassion that he had on the crowds. You see, the Father doesn't stand on dignity. The Father stands on compassion. And he throws his arm around the filthy, pig-stinking son, and he kisses him. And the son barely gets his words out. I am no longer worthy to be your son. When it's as if the father cuts him off. No talk of servanthood, No probation period. No, well, we'll see. We'll see, son, if you've really changed. Instead, the father says, bring the best robe. Put a ring on his hand. Kill the fattened calf. Let's feast. Why? For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found. That's the beautiful gospel message. That's Jesus. Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. But the parable doesn't end here. There's an older brother. He's been out in the field working hard. He hears the music and he refuses to go in. And here too, the father goes out to plead with him. And notice the father seeks both sons. But the older brother's heart is truly exposed. We read, look, these many years I've served you, I've never disobeyed, yet you never gave me a goat. But this son of yours who devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fattened calf for him. You can hear the bitterness. Can you hear the self-righteousness? Did you notice he doesn't even call the younger son my brother? He says, this son of yours. That's the Pharisees. And that's why Jesus tells the parable. They can't rejoice over sinners coming home because deep down they don't think they need the Father's mercy themselves. The tragedy is that both sons are truly lost. One in open rebellion, the other in quiet, selfish pride. And yet the Father loves both. He goes out to both. And he wants both at his table. But here's the deeper gospel. Jesus tells this parable not just to show us ourselves, but to show us himself. Where the oldest son in the parable failed, Jesus, the very Son of the Father, the Son of God, succeeds. He does not stand outside the party. He goes into the far country to seek us. He doesn't resent us, and he lays down his life to bring us home. Jesus is also the son who never squandered his inheritance, but who willingly gave it up, who gave up our greatest treasure, who gave up heaven itself to take on our rags, to take on our stench and our pig pen filth. And there on the cross, he bore the shame of our sin, so that the Father could clothe us with the robe of righteousness, to put the family ring onto our finger and feed us with the feast of his body and blood. That's why the Pharisees grumbled. Because to us sinners, grace isn't fair, but grace is better than fair. And so what does that mean for us? Moving forward, it means first that no matter how far you've gone, no matter how deep in the pig pen you are, with the vile slop of swine dripping from your chin, the Father's mercy is greater. Repentance is not earning your way back. It's being found by the Father. It means, second, that the church is not a museum of the respectable, but a home for prodigals. Here, Jesus still receives sinners and eats with them. Every divine service is a homecoming feast. The robe is placed on you again in your baptism. The ring of sonship is placed on your finger in absolution. And the fattened calf is Christ himself, given and shed for you to take and eat for the forgiveness of sin. And finally, it means that we must be aware of the older brother's heart. When others come in, those who we will be called to serve and those who we've been called to serve, those we think unworthy, those whose sins are very public and very ugly, we must not stand outside grumbling. For if God has had mercy on us, how can we begrudge mercy to them? This man receives sinners and eats with them. That's the Pharisees' complaint. This man receives sinners and eats with them. That's our hope. Why? Because that's exactly who Jesus is. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He receives you, the sinner, and he restores you to the place of honor and feeds you with his own body and his own blood given and shed for the forgiveness of your sin. And as we are about to sing in the hymn, the feast of love for us you are preparing, who were lost, you give an honored place. Come eat, come drink, and be no more despairing. Here taste again the treasures of my grace. At his table you already taste the treasures of his grace, but this is only a foretaste. For the Lord who now receives sinners and eats with them will one day welcome you into the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. And there, my friends, the banquet will never be withdrawn, the fellowship will never be broken, and the joy will never cease. In the name of Jesus, amen.
I cry to you, O Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with the Holy Spirit.
My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all day.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
By awesome deeds, you answer us with righteousness. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit. Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd without whom nothing is secure. Rescue and preserve us, that we may not be lost forever, but follow you, rejoicing in the way that leads to eternal life. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Almighty God, you bless the earth to make it fruitful, bringing forth in abundance whatever is needed for the support of our lives. Prosper the work of farmers and all those who labor to bring food to our table. Grant them seasonable weather, that they may gather in the fruits of the earth in abundance and proclaim your goodness with thanksgiving. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.